What's going on, everybody? You hear the music, you know what it means. It's the Full Press Hockey Weekly pregame show for the Stanley Cup Final. It's game four. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Coverage Facebook, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We are back and we got a series. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, back alongside Chris Wassel, Ian behind the scenes. Chris, we got a series, buddy.
Wow. Imagine that. I mean, it even rained in New Jersey today.
Well, it rained last night, too.
Yeah, it's weird. We're not sure what to do with this. We feel like Southern Californians with this whole rain thing. So,
Raiding from the golf course. I love it. Everybody's tuning in everywhere. Look, it's game four, Stanley Cup final, Saturday night. Get ready. It's a huge game. Everybody says game three is pivotal. Game four, even more pivotal, especially if you're the Florida Panthers, because we know what Vegas does after a loss.
They rebound.
And they rebound pretty well, especially in the first period. And that's where I'm watching is the first period. They got to be – Panthers better be surviving that first period. It has the feel of game two of the Eastern Conference Final, where Panthers won in that four overtime and Carolina came out so strong and it was only down 1-0. If that's the case, that's a win. We know what Vegas can do. Bobrovsky back in the zone after two poor games in Vegas. Team was much better, kept it simple, kept out of extracurricular stuff. However, they gotta stay disciplined.
Again. We need like an iron rod belt.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, just like, you know, keep beating it, because it's like you have to repeat it with Florida, because look, no matter how Vegas is going to keep coming, they're not going to stop. So it's not a and look, the numbers don't lie. You can't end up in the box, especially when your power play is bogus. And donuts and bagels.
Zeros.
And the other team has two power play goals in each game.
Yeah, not good, man. Yeah, okay. I mean, look, both teams have five power plays last game. But Vegas, again, look, you go back to a first period. William Carrier got a... yeah, but the problem is some of these are penalties. Now, look, the Carrier boarding call was probably meh. But Gudas can't come in and cross-check the guy near the face.
It's like, too obvious.
Like, you can't do that. So that takes away a power play. You're 4-on-4. Now Duclair takes an offensive zone penalty. He sticks his skate out. That's a trip, like a legit trip. And now it's 4-on-3 with open ice, and they score. And, I mean, that got Vegas back in the game. Barkov, again, takes a bad offensive zone penalty. And then Jonathan Marchessault, 3-for-3 on the power play. Lock it in again tonight, folks. I'm telling you right now, Marchessault on the power play. Going to score. It's uncanny. And then the fact of the matter is, yes, Florida's penalty kill adjusted. Yeah, it was a bad call. Stevenson's jumping, whatever. Good on the hockey gods to make sure Florida won that one, because I don't think anybody would have liked it if it ended on that. But the story of the game was Sergei Bobrovsky, the hit on Matthew Tkachuk. Tkachuk, yeah, it was a tap-in goal to tie it. He was not the same player after that hit. Chicken wing.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about up here?
You know, that's a good question, too, but it doesn't seem like that had as much of an effect as the shoulder. Then again, we don't know. And people have to understand, just because you might or might not have concussion-like symptoms, those things don't always show up in the first 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, sometimes a couple days. Ask Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Classic example of that. Crosby, look, he felt fine for several days, gets to the Winter Classic, happens again. And we don't see Crosby again for a long, long time. We don't know. You don't know. I mean, you never wish that upon any player, especially, you know, for how valuable Kachuk is to Florida here. So, you know, is he 100%?
No.
No. Can you say that about a lot of Florida players at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, look, you know, we've said it time and time again. Vegas is just going to keep wearing down Florida. Florida's yeah. going to have to just find ways to make the most of the opportunities they have. And again, yeah, we know. Don't look at the chocolate cake in the penalty box.
No, there's no chocolate cake.
Yeah, that's what we're just going to name this now. I mean, it's the only way to explain it. It's like there must be like something in the penalty box that's so tempting.
There must be. But look, you said it. They took advantage of opportunities, and they have to do that. Look, Vegas, the players, Stone, Eichel, guys after the game said, look, we gave them the middle of the ice in the third period, especially late.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to score. And that's how Verhaeghe scored. Hey, look, guys that we called out needed stepped up. Montour, Verhaeghe, Barkov got an assist. We still need more from Barkov. He needs to play better than he is. It just can't be Kachuk. It can't be the Bobrovsky show. Look, I know a hot goaltender can get you far, but it only can get you so far because eventually wears out.
Yep.
And look, I know the pattern recently, you know, in recent playoff past Vegas and a hot goalie. I don't see that happening this year. Look, this could be 3-0. Look, Ivan Barbashev, 5 minutes left, hits a goal post. If that goes the other way, it's yep. game over, and it's 3-0, and we're probably and there's a Stanley Cup getting lifted tonight.
Yeah. My under puck line pick hits, the under hits, and the whole world is happy. Well, our world is happy.
That was
kind of, yeah. Dude. Kind of,
yeah. Paul Maurice is the greatest, one of the best press conference coaches this year. I mean, the stuff he says. The comments he makes, he's having fun. And that's He's on a roll, but I think it's carrying over to the team. They're having fun. Yeah.
This is not the Paul Maurice that we're used to seeing. And you know what? Hey, it works.
It does work. But look, Vegas is going to come out and try to end this game early. You know they will. They did that after they had a couple of bad performances against Dallas. Maybe they took the gas pedal off a little bit. And then they came out and dominated. They've done that they did that to the Oilers too. We know what this team can do. Like, we've seen it. Florida has to play the same game. It's going to be tough. Look, Bobrovsky's making those blocker saves. He's moving great. Aiden Hill still played a good game. The difference was they got traffic in front.
Run it.
And they have to continue to do that. But again, there's only so many times you can get a fifth shot to go in the period and win a hockey game.
Yeah, it's a little bit of luck there.
I mean, look, yeah, Kachuk got inside position. He was it came right out to him. And look, Florida was able to get the game. Do they get two in a row? I don't know. It's going to be tough. Look, I do believe. I don't know if you agree with me with this. But I do think the 2 days off, the flying, everything, Vegas was not the same to start. You could see they were a little bit slow. They got their legs eventually. Even though they didn't play their best, they almost won. That's what good teams do. Yeah. I expect Vegas to be a lot better tonight.
Yeah, there was a lot of yo-yoing in the flow of the game. It was just clear from the opening puck drop. I mean, you look at some of the numbers and it's like they were rusty there. Then Vegas came back. You know, it's like the second period. There was a whole bunch of penalties. Vegas liked that. That was good. It actually mucked the game up enough to get Vegas back in it. You know, and then obviously the third period where score effects and Vegas, you know, tried to kind of like weather the storm, which was a bad idea.
Way bad idea.
And then obviously you have the overtime where the first few shifts Vegas dominates, arguably has a couple chances to win, has one lapse where they let two Panthers into the middle of the ice, and naturally, would you know, against game the full play, game over.
I think they definitely relied too much on a power play in game three because They weren't the same team 5-on-5. I think they were just waiting for that power play. They weren't taking the game. They weren't taking it to Florida like they had done in the first two games, 5-on-5. They're definitely a better 5-on-5 team than that. And you definitely know that, you know, they're going to be better 5-on-5. I think that was the one thing. If they, you know, I think they relied too much on that power play. And I think if they had scored a goal 5-on-5, maybe it'd be different. Look, Bobrovsky played well. Hill played well. It was the best game of the series. I don't expect anything less in game four.
No. This is going to be a lot more fun than people think.
Now, my only complaint, and I know everybody who's followed me, I put the ratings out and I say what I say, mm-hmm. and I agree they're good. They could be a lot better if there was a network television deal involved.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, so for the degenerates out there, you know who you are. You know you considered betting on this at the start of the series, and I hope to God you did. Because you're going to win.
Yo, bottom feeders. These are the bottom feeding
these
degenerates.
These are the true bottom feeding degenerates, but they're out there and you know they are. Here's the reality. The over under on ratings for the Stanley Cup was 2.8 million viewers per game. If you bet that at the start of this at plus 115, congratulations. You've won already. You won. Barring some kind of crazy miracle, you won. Because even what? The other night was what? 2-6 something?
The other... Well, all right. Let's get into the real ratings. Let's get into the inflated ratings.
Yeah, they're gonna count this. Trust me.
The real rating is what Showbiz Daily has every day that comes out. Okay? Yep. The number I put out that was at 1.679 million viewers
mm-hmm.
is the real number.
Yes.
The simulcast numbers on TBS and True TV and all that is just inflates the number. The real number is the TNT number because technically that's where the game is being broadcast.
Yep. And that's the number that the props are going by. So, again, Get your sunglasses out. Enjoy your money, degenerates. Okay, maybe I'm one of them.
You know you're one of them. Yeah, don't lie. Like, you know you're what? You know you're one. I know you did. You were texting me about it. You know you're a degenerate.
I mean, look at this. I'm the degenerate that sat there and said, okay, all right, so the Heat are playing and they typically neither team's score, you know, both teams usually don't score 100 in Miami in the postseason.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that at plus 130. Sure. One team will and one team won't. Okay. I mean, yes, it's true. You know, it's kind of like, all right. Yeah. I hedged back and said Florida will score more than 2.5 goals in game three. And they came through.
But you brought the stat out prior to game three.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas averages above over 4 goals when they win and what 2 something
yeah,
when they lose.
Never, they average less than 2 when they lose and they never score. If memory serves me right, I don't believe that they've scored more than 2 in this postseason and lost.
Yeah, so.
So that's, you know, as they say for Vegas, 3 is the magic number.
Yeah.
Damn you, Schoolhouse Rock.
No, but it is like, look, plain and simple, like that's it. And look, we've said it. Florida's got to stay disciplined. You can't take stupid, bad penalties. They always end up in the back of the net. You know, keep the game a little simple. Just stay out of the extracurricular stuff. I'm going to be interested to see what Tkachuk does, how he looks, if he's making those plays, because he was really not noticeable outside of the goal. I mean, and that was a backdoor tap in that anybody could put in. So I'm going to be interested to see what he looks like. You got to get more. You know what Vegas is going to bring. You know, they're going to, I think they're what, 11-1-1 or something?
Yeah, they have
after
an
a loss.
Insanely good record over their last.
I mean, it's like, a small sample size because it's only like the last like couple months, but it's where it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
This is where micro stats actually have some relevance.
Right, exactly. And look, I'm going to be pointing to that power play. Look, Carolina, in the Carolina series with Florida, was able to make some adjustments and figure it out. Vegas is just not giving them, they're keeping them to the perimeter, which you're supposed to do as a penalty kill. And, you know, that's going to be the key if they want to win this game and get back in this series. Because, look, it is rare that a team goes 0-for or only scores a handful of power play goals and wins the Stanley Cup, i.e. the 2011 Boston Bruins.
Yeah, there's always an exception. But there's always an exception. Remember, though, even the last four games of that series, the Boston power play came to life.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying that it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. But still, like, this Florida power play has to change it up. We know what Vegas can do. We documented it. I mean, look, the keys to the game are up on fullpresshockey.com. Like, go find the stats. They're all there. But
this is where we get Paul Maurice on the line, and we go, hey, put Duclair in the slot. Let him shoot. Let him shoot one-timers all day. Just throwing it out there. Not saying it could work, but it's worth a shot.
And I think Vegas is going to change some looks on a power play, too. Even though it's working, I think they're going to try to move the puck a little bit more. It's a little stale, but with Stone in front trying to tip pucks, I think that's a good look. I think they tried to overpass too much. They thought what worked in game two was going to work in game three. It wasn't. That's why Bobrovsky was making the saves. I think they got to just shoot a little bit more, get a little bit more traffic in front. And look, like I said, they're going to come with a better effort. Florida's definitely going to come from a better effort. Was that the game that they get? And it's going to be similar to what we see with the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat? Or is this series going six? I'm not sure. I don't know if we know tonight if it goes six.
No, it's true. We really don't. There's look, for those listening, there's a lot of question marks. We don't have answers. We really don't. We're not going to until what? Middle first period, end of first period, maybe?
Maybe.
Because
we'll know. We'll know if
we'll have an idea.
We'll have an idea. Because if Vegas comes out and shows what they can do and puts a clinic on like they did against Dallas, we'll know real quick.
Yep.
We'll know real quick. And I would not be surprised if the fourth line starts again for Vegas. They've been a tone setter. I would not be surprised. So that's going to be something to watch as well. Now Florida's got a counter with their bottom guys, because you're going to need energy in that building. The first 10 minutes of this game is going to be telling to everybody and what this game is going to be like. So it's going to be a fascinating game four here on a Saturday night in South Florida. And, you know, again, hopefully, you know, we know Tkachuk's banged up. We know everybody's banged up. But it just feels like this first period is very, very pivotal.
Right, which means it has this thing called intrigue, which the series did not have after two games in Vegas.
No. I think people wanted to see last game how Florida would respond.
And they did.
Now
they found a way.
And by the way, metro area, that's what a comeback is, people. That's exactly a comeback victory. See? Now, but look, that was a big win for them. They needed it. 7-0 in overtime. Florida's first Stanley Cup final victory. They were 0-6 prior to that. You know, they're kings of overtime. This is a big game, and, you know, we're going to find out right after puck drop what team is showing up tonight.
Yeah, that's the good thing about this. We're going to know fairly fast, hopefully.
Yeah. So, before we get out of here, we got to transition, cuz again, we got to talk
some news.
There is news. There's news. There's a lot of news, actually. The Devils, again, in the news. Columbus, after acquiring Ivan Provorov, they get Damon Severson, 8 years at $6.25 million. Good for him. Good, nice contract. I know some people are with the term. When the cap goes up, it ain't going to look that bad. Mike Babcock's coming in. You got Juracek. You got Severson on the right side. You have Provorov, Werenski. This team is going to be better defensively. This team is going to be tougher to play against.
Yeah, they're just going to make a few mind-numbing mistakes that will drive Babcock into a sanitarium. But that's okay.
But he might be able to fix those mistakes.
I hope so. I know this isn't going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Because look, you have a guy in Severson that's probably a 3 or 4. That's going to wind up playing, 23 minutes a night?
But he did that in Jersey on bad defensive teams, too.
And he was a disaster.
Yeah.
He was the collective only disaster.
The only time he wasn't a collective disaster is when he had Andy Green as his partner.
Yeah, and even then, it was like even Andy Green could only do so much. And right. That's the concern.
Right.
That you
he
have
can move
Severson.
The puck.
He can move, the puck. He makes passes. He has offensive talent. But sometimes he forgets when to shoot the puck, and he forgets that the puck is near his goalie when he shoots the puck.
Right. However, I will say, and you'll agree with me on this, I think you will anyway, I thought he was one of the better defensemen for the Devils in the playoffs.
Yes. Absolutely. As long as you keep his minutes reasonable and you deploy him, you utilize him properly, he's a solid, good defenseman.
And the Devils were not bringing him back. Let's
be
honest here.
No, he was gone.
He was gone. They wanted a short-term deal. He wanted a long-term deal. They made it happen. He wanted to go to Columbus.
Yep.
Okay, fine. They make the deal happen. It happens. We know Ryan Graves is not coming back either.
Yeah,
because you have Luke Hughes, you have Nemich. I think they go after a veteran guy because you can't play Brandon Smith there. But Luke Hughes took Ryan Graves' spot on that side. I mean, it's a given. You saw what he did in the playoffs, and Nemich may come in and fill that role on the bottom six for now, unless they go get another defenseman, which I think they might. But look, it's no surprise that those guys are moving on. That's just the salary cap and what the Devils have to do with Bratt and what they have to do with Meyer. And it continues to be a grind. And I was speaking with somebody, we both know, and we both agreed that Tom Fitzgerald was a little bit over optimistic when at the end of the year, when he thought this wasn't going to be contentious. You know the player, you know who it is.
You know his agent.
You know his agent. But again, as Jack Hughes said, you want to be here, sign a contract. If you don't, okay. It's plain and simple. It's plain and simple because this contract should be done. And it should have been done already.
Yep. Jack Hughes not wrong.
No, he's not. Because Hughes and Hischier got their contract extensions in the final year of their ELCs.
Yep. Yeah. It's that simple. And they're committed.
Right. Is Brack committed? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have an answer for that one.
No, we don't.
And you can say that about a few players across the league right now.
Dubois.
Here's one for you. Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
that's an interesting one.
Well, we got a new coach in Calgary, Ryan Huska. They promote within. I mean, I follow the trend, promoting within. Craig Conroy, now Ryan Huska. Guys that have been there the longest, good hire. You keep Mitch Love down with your AHL team, and they continue to develop and be good. I think that's a good fit. I like Ryan Huska.
Yeah, there's obviously there's him. There's what could shake out from some other potential deals or maybe not deals.
Right.
This could be chaotic and fun.
It's going to be fun. I mean, look, we've already had two big trades. And yes, there's an off season while the Stanley Cup final goes on.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of names out there. Carter Hart's name's out there. UC Soros' name's out there. You know, the LA Kings only have one goalie signed. Are they going, they're going to try to take a run at like a Freddie Anderson? Are they taking a run to somebody else? Korpisalo's probably not coming back. You know, what do the Devils do?
Yeah.
Can they go after Soros? I think that might be an option. Somebody's thinking, hey, maybe try to get Carter Hart out of Philly. I think Carter Hart with Schmidt is not a bad combination.
No, it's not. More friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not, you know, the thing you have to consider with, you know, Soros is, yeah, is that going to be, how long is that going to be semi-friendly?
Right.
That's a problem.
But as and I'll shout it out, Dennis Bernstein pointed out on the latest podcast when he was up on Toronto, is maybe you don't need a great goaltender. You just need great goaltending.
Can't hurt.
No, it can't hurt.
Great goaltending coach might help too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like Sean Burke.
Yeah.
He's doing a heck. Look at the run that guy's on. Look at the run that guy's on. Think about what. Think about.
You gotta tip your. You just have to tip your hat. I mean, you may not like the guy necessarily, but
look, L.A. What he did there.
Yeah.
And oh no, Billy Ranford was there too, but. Sean Burke's doing what he's doing in Vegas right now with all these guys. I mean, yeah. You know,
doesn't matter who's starting.
No. And they all play like him too. If you notice it.
Yeah. There's a little bite in the dog, as they say.
Yep. There is. Okay. So we'll close with this. What do you make? Good move by Toronto to get Shane Doan, assistant general manager, to Brad Tree Living. I think that's an excellent move, and you know who it's for, and you know what they're going to do. It's Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews, like, breaking news, people, he ain't going anywhere. Like, let's be honest. Like, I mean, it's not official yet, but I think everybody expects him to sign a deal to stay in Toronto.
Yeah, this was the, hey, you know, we're all in on you, Auston. We got your back. You're signing here, so... This is to make sure that you do.
Great question by Braden. I don't know if there's going to be a reunion there with Colorado. They'll have the money to do it. Again, does O'Reilly want to go there? Does he want to stay in Toronto? He's going to have to take less money to go places. He's coming off a $7.5 million deal. You know, he's not getting any younger. Colorado has to get a second line center. Is he still that, or is he more of a third line center now? It would be a good fit. I'm not going to lie. It would be a good fit for them.
Yeah. My gut says he's a little bit more of a third line center now than a second.
Right.
I mean...
But again, they're up against the cap, but they have them... Once Landeskog officially goes on LTIR, they have the room to make it.
Yep. Yeah, it's just waiting is the hardest part.
Right, exactly. Great song, by the way, Tom Petty. But so I'll be intrigued to see where O'Reilly ends up. But like Shane Doan, great move. And it feels like there's going to be a mass exodus out of Arizona. It just feels like it. Like,
yeah.
They don't really know what's going on, and you know, the building situation, where things are gonna go, players, how long are players gonna be, you know, wanting to stay there. I know they're not happy playing in the college arena. That ain't the NHL. You know, Shane Doan's probably the first to leave. There's gonna be a lot of others.
Yeah, you could see it even at the scouting combine today. You could see like players are like, you didn't want to say it, but it's like, we really don't want to be drafted by Arizona. There's quite a few that kind of were like, no. But, you know, again, oh man, that's one situation not too envious of Arizona management.
No, I am not either. So, look, there's a lot of questions surrounding the offseason. What's going to happen? You know, obviously eyes on Toronto, eyes on all the Canadian teams, the Winnipeg Jets, obviously Connor Hellebuyck, Pierre-Luc Dubois. What happens there? You know, guys are going to get moved. Who's going to go where? Especially if Dubois' only destination is Montreal, even though he says he wants to go other places, we know where he wants to go.
There's blinders on and something muttered in Quebecois French that says Montreal.
Exactly. But it's going to be an intriguing offseason. It's going to be an intriguing draft to see where guys go, what deals get done, who gets dealt when. It's going to be a fun offseason. But again, there's a Stanley Cup final continuing, even though there's been a lot of moves made in this offseason. But we have game four of the Stanley Cup final tonight. Either we're going to have a 2-2 series or Vegas is going to be one win away from a Stanley Cup. We're ready to go. And we thank you for joining the pregame show, the only pregame show you need, breaking it all down for you. The Full Press Hockey Weekly Show, Game 4 preview here on at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, FullPressHockey.com, FullPressCoverage.com. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I've been your host, the voice of Full Press Hockey, Jim Berenger. Chris Wassel, Ian behind the scenes, thank you for your comments, Braden, and all the viewers out there. Enjoy game four tonight.